What's up, everybody? Welcome in. We're going to be talking about PSA. I get a lot of my stories from Twitter. The news is pretty crazy, and there's honestly so many topics that I want to talk about on the show today that I think I'm going to be waiting to record tomorrow's show because there is a big National Treasures card, the one of one Justin Herbert, which right now I believe is around 1.2 million on Golden. That card's going to be ending tonight. Obviously, then other big news was the $1.1 million one of one Prism Justin Herbert that sold. We're going to be getting into those topics probably tomorrow, I think, just because, I mean, these are pretty big topics here. We're going to get into the first one. Let's see. Let's make sure we can switch here. First one is going to be bulk submissions are back. And I'm trying to make sure. So bulk submissions are back at PSA. This was honestly something that I wasn't really expecting. I don't know. PSA, to me, it like almost, I can't predict what they're going to do, to be completely honest. Every move that they've made has been maybe not the opposite, but it's been a lot different than I was expecting. Like, I did expect them to come back with some sort of bulk submission. I think at $22, like, that's a pretty decent deal, to be honest. Like, it is for the collectors club members. So, you know, that they are sort of helping out, I think, people that are submitting a lot of cards. So it's not just like you can't just do a bulk submission. I think the one thing with bulk submissions too is like they need to figure, they hired so many people that it's like they probably looked at it and said, well, we need to be able to use the people that we hired to grade cards. So it's like the bulk submissions, they probably looked at it and said, we can come back with these bulk submissions for the Collectors Club members at this price point. I think it used to be around $10 to $12 to do bulk submissions. So at $22, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see. And this is, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. But to be honest, this is sort of what I've been, not my thesis, but what I thought about PSA for quite some time is that, like, why would PSA, why would they want to do more work to make less money, you know? Because, like, why would they want to grade more cards and not make as much money off of those graded cards, you know? That's one thing that I've looked at and said, like, I don't know, grading should be more expensive. And I know that's a hot take, maybe it's not a hot take, but like overall, I think with PSA, like, you know, sort of what you're getting when you're getting these cards graded, you know, you're going to be getting decent value if you're trying to resell them. And I think it's the same with a lot of the grading card companies in general. Like, I know that there's a new arena club that kind of came out that's sort of a grading marketplace sort of thing that just launched with Derek Jeter, which is really cool. But like, I think the top three right now, the top three grading companies are probably going to be PSA, Beckett, sort of kind of crazy. And then SGC, I think SGC is getting into the conversation for top two because Beckett, I don't know, like they sort of haven't really done much like over the past few years to help their reputation, I guess is one way to put it. SGC has done a lot of, they've done a lot of good marketing. They've done a lot of bad marketing, but I think even I guess you could call it respect. I respect that SGC is at least trying to switch things up a little bit. Beckett really just is like, we're not switching anything up, which granted that could be a scenario where it's like, they don't need to, they don't want to, they're making the money. I don't think Beckett is a private company or pub. I think they're private. They're not public. Like PSA is a publicly traded company now. They were, and now they're not anymore. But either way, I just think that, like, I think maybe Beckett, whoever owns it or whoever is sort of the, you know, CMO or the CFO, they look at it and said, we're making this amount of money every year. Like, we are fine doing this. Like, maybe they don't have many like people way high at the top that they have to answer to. So like maybe they look at it and say, we don't need to make any changes because people are still submitting. Like you still see a lot of top RPAs that are getting graded by Beckett. So like that's probably where they're making a lot of their money. Like PSA, I think PSA makes a lot of their money on their bulk submissions and on their like base card grading. So like PSA has to sort of maneuver around what's going on with the base card market, where Beckett is sort of looking at it and they grade a lot of the RPAs. I think people do grade RPAs with PSA, but for the most part, a lot of like, you know, National Treasures, you know, even select RPAs. I think that there might be Prism RPAs. I'm not 100% sure, but they are grading those. So those are going to be much more high value cards in general. Obviously, you know, the one of one Justin Herbert is going to be selling through Golden for over $1 million. This dude's only been in the league for 3 years. Like, that's absolutely wild. Like, almost, I don't know what the percentage is. I'd be interested to see if anyone has this type of info. Like, if they have the info about how many like high RPAs are being sold and how many of them are Beckett graded. I think that would be kind of interesting to see. I don't know what that number is, and I don't even know if there's a way to really pull that number, to be honest. But like, I think Beckett probably looks at it from that standpoint. I think PSA looks at it from the standpoint that they need to maneuver around the base card market a little bit differently. I don't think many people send their base cards into Beckett. I think one big piece of news that kind of came out a couple weeks ago during the National, or I guess that was almost a couple months ago now at this point, was that the one of one super fractor Mike Trout switched from a Beckett slab to a PSA slab, which the grading of the one of ones is sort of a hot button issue with everybody. I think some people will say you don't need to do it. I think it's fine either way. Like, I think if you're getting a PSA 6, that might hurt the value a little bit, but if you're getting a 7 through 9, that's not affecting what the card value would be. If you're getting a 10, that's helping the value. And this is with PSA in general. With Beckett, it's probably in that 7 to 9 range as well, but then that 9.5, and I don't know how often they're giving out those black labels, but that's sort of how I view the grading of one of ones in general, is that I think it's fine. I think we have seen some people do, like, I think the one of one triple, it was either the one of one triple logo man LeBron, or it was the one of one triple logo man Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, that one, I forget which one it was, but one of them received an authentic, which that could have been just that they wanted to do authentic because they looked at the card. Maybe it was a little dinged up and they didn't want to risk getting a bad grade on it. But either way, PSA coming back with bulk submissions, I was a little bit surprised. I think overall, when it comes to PSA, they have so much data on grading because they were the one, I think they're the one company that probably has the most amount of data other than the actual card companies, because of how many cards they've graded and all the price points and how many changes they made. Like, they came out like when they stopped doing grading right before 2020 Prism came out, which that was a crazy decision. They raised the price, and then I think they probably said, if we don't get the backlog to a certain point, if people are still submitting at that certain price, Prism Basketball 2019, which that's kind of something I'm going to get into in the next topic, but Prism Basketball 2020, they're looking at it and saying this is the biggest basketball product of the year. We're going to get overrun with base cards. We need to raise the price. And then they shut down, and then they kept the price, I think, at 300 for whatever the turnaround was at the time. But they shut down all the submissions under $300. And I mean, now they're back with this $22 bulk submission. You know, they also have had some issues with some group breakers, or not group breakers, group subbers. And I think that probably left them a little bit hesitant. And I think at this point, you know, they probably have changed their business practices to where this $22 price point is a realistic and good price point for, you know, Collectors Club and for bulk submissions. So I don't know. I mean, you can't just get the price, to be honest. You have to go through someone who's in the Collectors Club. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be definitely interesting to see sort of if people are still grading at the level that they were, that I can't imagine they are because of where the market has gone and how everything is, a lot of stuff has changed. But I think people, you know, there is going to be, I think, an influx of cards that are going to be graded because of this $22 bulk submission through the Collectors Club. We got Kamikaze. Yeah, so this is sort of where I'm going to try and get to some of the comments. So Kamikaze, way overpriced, calling their bluff. Yeah, I think overall, like, the... I don't know. I think it like they sort of have gone through this thing where they have changed the price kind of throughout the process of rolling this out. So I don't know. I mean, I think that they look at it and say, we're okay if 50% less cards get submitted at $22 versus at $10 to $12 if we get 50% more, because it's like, that's more work. That's more people they have to hire. That's sort of how I've always looked at it. Like, they probably, and I, like I said, this is sort of maybe my hot take about grading, is like, for PSA, they should be able to charge whatever they want, and they should charge even more because of the value that they're giving to these cards. Like, you're turning a $5 to $10 card in some cases into a $200, $300 card. All in all, you have to do is, if you spend, I don't know, whatever, $20, and this is, the numbers may not line up exactly, but like, you buy a card for whatever the price is, $5, $10, $15, you get it, you send it for grading. Let's just say it comes out to like, what, let's see, like it was 20, so $22, you know, you're spending $50 at most in some cases, and then you're getting a card if it's a 10, or even if it's a 9 at some point. If it's an 8, you're probably getting your money back, but if it's a 9 or a 10, you're probably making a little bit of money. Obviously the 10 is gonna be more than the 9, but either way, I just think that at those price points, that's sort of where I see, that's why I see them doing it this way. 90% of cards submitted at $10 to $12 don't make sense to grade now. That I definitely agree with. If you are getting a 9, you're probably slightly making a little bit, but you may not be making anything, to be honest. Anyone grading Lance, Donruss base? Well, I guess so. Like, I mean, I think that's one thing that PSA does pretty well too, is they come out with all their data, which I definitely like. And like the Mac Jones, for example, like that card had like 1,000 graded, and like right when it came out, like it was crazy how many of those Mac Jones cards were graded. I think PSA is, they have a good, you know, obviously, because now they're sort of, I don't know if they're exactly, I forget exactly how the partnership works, but I know them and Golden are together. So, you know, they have that Golden data. They have the marketing that Golden has. I think Golden's marketing is really good. Probably one of the best companies in the industry, in the sports card industry, for grading. But yeah, it's $200 or up card, you get upcharged. Okay, so yeah, I mean, either, well, so yeah, that, I think that, that the $200, like, I, and the upcharge, usually it's only going from 20 in this scenario. It's probably 22 to like even 30 at the most. I can't imagine it's going higher than 30. But still, I think, yeah, the upcharges is something that I think is a totally different discussion that I do not like at all. I think it's sort of like a, I think it's a lawsuit waiting to happen for PSA, to be completely honest, because of the way it's so vague and like ambiguous, like how they upcharge and what they're upcharging. I just don't like how they do it, and I think that it's, I don't know, I think it's a, it could be pretty bad down the road if they, if something happens where they, you know, mishandle some sort of, if they mishandle the upcharge at some point, I could see there being a big legal problem down the road with that. So the next issue is still grading. So Eric Whiteback is an account on Twitter that I follow that is a phenomenal, phenomenal account. I am a big fan of the tweets that he puts out. This one I thought was extremely interesting. He puts out a lot of other great stuff, but this was one that really kind of, it encapsulated, I think, what happened to the basketball market. And I'll just read the tweet. Of the 620,000 cards, that PSA has graded from 2019 Prism Basketball, 358,000, almost 359,000 are base cards. Yeah, and I was looking at some of the numbers, and Zion has almost 40,000 total graded. Jaw has, I think, 38,000. Even Tyler Harrow has like 25,000. And then I was looking, so Bol Bol in this picture, I was looking at his. He has almost 10,000, I believe, was the number that I saw, which is just insane. I was actually surprised that LaMelo Ball didn't have as many. And I think it's sort of, I think that's because grading really shut down when Prism Basketball was going to come out. That's probably why there aren't as many LaMelo Balls. But the fact that there are, you know, of the almost 620,000 graded cards, there are almost 40,000 Zions, like 40,000 total PSA graded Zions, which I think that's really what happened to the market and why, you know, and I think I always say the market, and I always refer to the basketball market. There's literally so many ways to define what the market is. Like there, you could, like, because I think one thing, I posted this on TikTok and somebody, you know, somebody, I think his name is Local Card Shop. He left a comment and said, like, the market's not down. Like, you're just a news reporter and commenting on the market, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I am just commenting on what I'm seeing, because then I went to his page and he's selling a lot of basketball cards. So like for him, the market's obviously not down. For him, you can find cards for a good value and sell them or flip them, however you're going to sell them. So it's like, I'm using, you know, maybe I'm referring to the market as maybe it's the 2019 Prism basketball market, because that market has absolutely collapsed. Like if you look at those cards across the board, if you look at like Zions and Jaws, like the prices of those over the past year have dropped significantly. Like I don't even percentage wise, I'm not 100% sure on the percentage. Actually, I'm going to go to Card Ladder and look at that percentage right now, actually, because the number is much higher, to be honest, than I think. Zion Williamson, this is going to make Prism PSA 10. Go to the Card Ladder. I know this is going to make for let's do compare the indexes cards, compare Zion Williamson Prism PSA 10. Oops. Zion Williamson. 100, and right now it's sitting at, last sold, $197 for a Zion PSA 10. Over the 2 years, that is a 68% drop. And over 1 year, it is a, well, 40%. So not terrible, but all time, this card was almost $1,000 in December of 2020, which I think is one of the things you look at. I just think it's wild that December of 2020, this is where I was, I talked about this on TikTok as well. I was sort of caught up in the market and in making crazy predictions, saying that the card market was never going to run. It was a little bit naive of me, to be honest. Like, even though tons of people, I think at that time, were saying that these are cycles and they go through ups and downs, I think that these cards themselves were the detriment to the market of them, if that makes sense. Like, even, you know, even Bol Bol, for this example, I think, like I said, he almost had 10,000 cards graded by PSA. This dude is not, like, he's been on 10 different teams already and he barely even plays. Now, maybe it's an injury, whatever. But like Kobe White, Tyler Harrow, and Tyler Harrow, I think, was in that $20,000 range, or 20,000 PSA graded card range. But I think it's unfortunate what has happened to that type of market. I think everybody, for the most part, got caught up in the fact that people were grading Lucas and Trey Young's and maybe even Michael Porter Jr. They were grading those cards and flipping them pretty easily. Like, you know, even the Luka card, for example, like you could look at that one and say, like, I'm gonna look up the, even that one has sort of gone down pretty significantly too. It's $360. So let's see, let's go 2 years. Yeah, 2 years. That one's also down 72%. So at the peak, at this point, again, December 2020, that was a $2,000 card. And I guess maybe the question is, like, do the cards ever rebound to that point? I think they probably won't ever get to a point where I don't think they'll ever get to a point where the Luka is $2,000 or the Zion is $1,000. Just based on the fact, looking at the population of these cards, like based on the fact there's 21,000 PSA 10 Zions and there's almost 19,000 PSA 10 Lukas, I don't see them getting to that point. I still think that they're going to fluctuate. I still think that they could go up, and I think people will flip them. But I also think one thing that happened with this market and with so many of these PSA or with so many of these 2019 cards getting graded, one thing that I think happened was, like, I think people didn't I think it's sort of a conundrum that people were in. I think that everyone wanted to rip packs, grade the cards, flip the cards, and that was everybody's game plan. And I think everyone else thought that other people weren't doing that, which is what led to PSA continuously getting backed up, which led to them getting shut, which led to the service getting shut down for a significant portion of time, which led to now these prices going down, which, opening packs, grading, flipping, led to PSA getting backed up, led to eventually all these cards being sent back in bulk orders, which was because PSA, they hired a bunch of people. They hired a ton of new graders, which then led to everybody then trying to sell the cards, which also, in my opinion, I think people saw the first few prices of some of these cards that were getting graded and sold, and they, in their head, they expected that their cards were then going to sell for that. And if they, if they bought Prism, which at the time, because if you're buying 2019 Prism, I remember buying blasters. I bought two blasters when 2019 Prism came out. I bought two blasters for like $40 a piece. Like, sure, they were probably should have been 20 or 25, but I bought them at a local card store that was in my area, and I bought them for $35 and I think $40. So if you get a Zion out of that, and this was when bulk submissions were still available with group subbers, and it was kind of like that until like a few months later. That's when these were still like available. You could still do all that stuff for pretty cheap. So like, if you're, these are when a hobby box of Prism 2019, when it first came out, if the blasters were 40, the hobby boxes at the time were probably 300 to 400, which, like, if you're getting all the top rookies and you're sending them in to get graded, you can do all that fairly inexpensively. And even if you're selling your Zions, even if you were selling your Zions at $190 or $200, or if you sold them at $400 or whatever, you were still probably making a decent profit. You probably were still making some money on those cards, and you were okay, even though it wasn't selling for $800, even though it was maybe selling for $600 or $500, you were okay selling it for that much because you were still profiting, which I think that led to an influx of those 2019 Prism cards being sold. Like, I think once they started getting sent back, they were down 50%, but people were still up 50% on what they spent on all the grading. Sure, maybe some of them probably waited 6 months to 12 months to get the cards back, but I think people were okay with the profit they were making, which then led to people continuing to kind of undercut this neck the last sold. Also, off season, I think, you see card values kind of go down a little bit in the off season. Luka's playing in that Euro tournament, so he's had a little bit of buzz. I don't think that's really affecting his cards too much. I think that also people are starting to sort of realize that, like, these players have to be superstars for their cards to really increase more than they do. And I think the upside was already baked in to the Prism cards at those prices. And unfortunately, I think what ends up happening is that when it doesn't happen in a year, when Luka isn't as good as LeBron in a year, people are like, I'm just going to sell and maybe I'll buy back later. And like I said, they probably, you could have been buying PSA 10 Lukas. Like, I bought two PSA 10 Lukas for, I believe, $40 a piece. So, and I sold them, I think, at like $600 or $700 a piece. So it's like, there was people that made there, and I only bought two. Like, there's people that probably bought like hundreds and they sold it for that much. So it's like, when it goes up, you keep thinking it's going to go up. I think it's reflexivity, I think, is the term. When it's essentially it's a financial term that People, and I'm going to, this is not this, this isn't going to sound 100% correct, I think, but it's when assets go up, people think that they're never going to stop going up. And when assets go down, people think that assets are never going to stop going down. Essentially, that's what that is. And I think that's sort of what we've seen with all the different types of markets at some point within sports cards. Like when they were going up, we, you know, when Lucas or when these Luca cards are selling for, you know, 1500, 2000, people are like, these are going to 5,000 or whatever. And now that they're kind of going down, people are looking at it, maybe poo-pooing the market a little bit, but at the same time, like it's a psychological thing that maybe people are going through when they're seeing the difference in the market and kind of what's happening in general. And I think the 2019 Prizm basketball, the fact that so many of these cards were graded, the fact that so many people probably made a decent amount of money on these cards, I think that's kind of the main reason, in my opinion, why we're seeing sort of some of the downward trends. Also, like I've always said in the past, the 2019 rookie class had the perfect storm of the pandemic happening, the season stopping, everyone thinking that every player was good from that draft because they'd only played in half a season. And, you know, some of them were pretty good in that half a season. So then they go into the stoppage, and then they have the bubble where only a certain amount of people come. And then you have the whole off season for, you have a whole off season. You have an extended off season because I think I'm pretty sure that season ended in August or September. And then the next season, I don't believe started until Christmas, if I'm not mistaken. The next season started that next Christmas. But either way, so there was a ton of time in between when people were buying those 2019 cards and when they were shown that some of the players weren't good. The Kobe Whites, who's fine, like I've always said, the, you know, Bull Bulls, the Tyler Harrow, who is like a six man, great, but like not at some times the Kobe White was selling for the same price as the Ray Allen. So it's like, it doesn't make, I mean, not Kobe White, Tyler Harrow. So that sometimes the markets don't make sense. And when something maybe doesn't make sense, maybe it is a good idea to take a step back and try and figure it out. And if it still doesn't make sense, then maybe you just don't participate, I guess is maybe one way to look at it. Like, that's why, you know, I wasn't buying heavy on any of those 2019 prospects. I bought some Zion cards. I bought some Jaw cards. I sold them. But either way, I think that's sort of what's happened with the 2019 basketball Prizm market in general. PSA making 11%, eBay making IRS. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of another thing that's like, I don't know. It's interesting. I feel like not enough people talk about the fees. It feels like, I don't know, maybe I'm mistaken, and maybe I just, people talk about it all the time and I don't see it. You know what I think it is? I think it's people don't talk about fees because it's not like interesting. It's not like flashy to talk about whatever the fees are for PSA, eBay, all that kind of stuff. But I think you need to, if you're trying to start this as a business, you need to make sure you have all the fees when you start, not selling everything and then figuring it out at the end. Because like, if you're buying a card at $20 and you sell it for $30, that $10 profit, like you said, gets split up with 11% eBay or it gets split up a bunch of different ways when you're paying for all the fees and then, you know, taxes and all that kind of stuff too. So Lameem equals Ken Golden or someone from that team. Why was Lameem live streaming from Drake live streaming? I think Lameem James is like one of the best Twitter account or Twitter and Instagram, I think, in the hobby. I think they do a phenomenal job kind of injecting humor into the hobby. I maybe they sometimes take the jokes a little bit too far. No, I don't know. I just, you can't take yourself so seriously. That's sort of something I've tried to do in a way, is like not take myself so seriously all the time. Sometimes it's tough, you know. Sometimes, you know, if you're trying to do something and you're trying to sort of run a business, you have to take yourself seriously a little bit. But at the same time, like, you know, like you said, that I think that his Instagram is one of the best Instagrams in the game. So before we get into the last topic, I want to talk about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is great. If you're into, let's see, I'm going to post the post a comment here. Make sure the comment. If you want to do Prize Picks, so Prize Picks essentially is like a pick 'em. It's like player props. I think it's legal in a lot of states in the United States. It's not like sports betting where it's basically it's because it's fantasy. It's like it's daily fantasy, but it's player props. So it's really a lot of fun. And I started doing it over the winter. And now that we're getting into week one of the NFL season, here are two of the props that I'm doing. So I've got one of my favorite props actually is over on interceptions on a bunch of quarterbacks. And I think one cool thing that Prize Picks does is that like it uses essentially betting odds. So you don't, it's not like, it's not, you're picking all of these at like, if you're a bettor, it's like probably -110, which is like a pretty typical, like if you're betting a game, -110 is pretty typical. Like, so, you know, you're adding it all together. And then the other one I did was the yards for quarterbacks. And the reason I did this one was because Tom Brady, there's a promotion actually going on that if Tom Brady throws over 0.1 yards, which means like he literally has to throw one pass, one completion, and then this is good. You win that, you know, it's the square. I think they call it a free square. And the payouts are pretty cool. Like you can do two different types of plays. You can do a flex play or you can do a power play. So the flex play essentially is like you can lose one of them. You have to win the majority of the ones that you're doing. So like, I think if you do the flex, if you pick four, you have to get at least two of them right for it. But like, if you only get like two of the three, you would only get a 1.25% of whatever you're putting on the play itself. But if you get all three, you get 2.25. So it's like, if your unit size is one thing that, I've talked about a little bit with sports betting and sports cards, but like unit size, if your unit size is, let's just say $5, I don't know, whatever, it doesn't really matter, then you are getting on the $5, the 2.5, you're getting, I think like that would be like 11.25 or something along those lines. But you can also do the power play, which the power play is going to be 5x, which if you have to get all three right, you can't miss any. So for these, I actually did power plays on all three of them, or all the two and all the three. So we'll see how that goes. So yeah, Prize Picks, I put the link in the description. If you check out Prize Picks and sign up, they do 100% deposit match up to $100. Also, that helps out the show. That's tons of fun. So those are the two picks that I have for tomorrow. Make sure if you're doing it, make sure you use that Brady yards in any of them, because it's basically a free. You get one free. And check out Prize Picks on their Twitter, because they do a bunch of different promotions. Like I think on Fridays, I'm not 100% sure if they still do it, but they did like, I think it was something like that you get like a discounted, you can put in for a discount for the price of your picks or something along those lines. So yeah, check out their Twitter account as well. And you're going to find that you'll find other promotions that they're doing. Check out the link that I just put in the description or in the comments. It'll also be in the description of the show. And you'll get a deposit match up to $100. It also helps out the show. So let's get into the last topic here, which is going to be something that I'm not a huge fan of PSA's decision here. I think that this is dangerous, and I hate being like, oh, it's so dangerous that they're doing this, but it's like, I don't know what, this is one of the examples that I said, I don't know what, sometimes I don't know what PSA is doing. I don't know why they would decide to start grading these cards again. I think the legend has it about the star rookies is that someone got their hands on one of the printing plates, so there's so many counterfeits. I'm also nervous that like there's going to be a ton of, you know, I'd be nervous if I had one of those old graded cards, because they stopped grading pretty soon after people started submitting all these counterfeits. Because I think it's a little bit different than the legend of like the Ken Griffey Jr. card. Cause the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie, apparently the legend has it that they, apparently the legend was from that one that, that Upper Deck just printed a ton of them. Like not even, it wasn't even someone taking the plate. It was literally just Upper Deck taking a bunch. So I don't know. I mean, I think it you know, I know Rob G, when I interviewed him, he said one of his favorite cards that he bought, he was the person that bought the $5.2 million, the Mickey Mantle, the 1952 PSA 9 that was sold for $5.2 million at the beginning of last year. When I interviewed him, he said one of his favorite cards was a PSA 8 star rookie. First of all, because PSA hadn't graded them. So it's like, it's impossible to find. And he actually kind of shared an interesting story on the show, is that like, when he asked PSA to put it in a regrader, they weren't even doing that. Like, they weren't even putting these cards, they weren't even trying to regrade the cards themselves. So I think that, I thought that was kind of interesting. I guess, I don't know. They have to have some sort of system at this point to figure out which ones are fake and which ones are real. I don't know what it is. Like PSA, like I said, they have so much data. They have so much of the kind of the info that's going to give them the, hopefully the correct answer for some of these, if people are submitting counterfeit ones, which also maybe they're looking at and saying, how many of these cards even could there still be? Like, that's maybe one thing that they're looking at and saying, like, if they only, which they probably got an influx since they said that they were going to start grading these cards. So Golden, sorry, so I buried the lead a little bit. Golden has a PSA 9, the only PSA 9 in existence is on sale at Golden. And it's in a new slab, which means it either was just graded or it was put into a new, well, no, I must've just been graded because there wasn't a PSA 9 before. So it was just graded. I guess they must have somebody that's able to look at them and make sure that they're not grading the counterfeit versions. The thing with this star rookie compared to the 1986 Fleer, which, 86, 87, 85, 86, the Fleer card, that was the first licensed product with Michael Jordan. This wasn't a licensed product, which is one of the reasons I think why PSA wasn't grading it. And then I think the other was obviously the counterfeiting, but, because these cards didn't come in like regular packs. They came in like the team packs that they sell at like Targets and Walmarts. Like, you can get your like football or basketball teams cards. I think they're Donruss, I'm pretty sure. So it's basically, I think it was that. And like I said, the legend has it that somebody took apparently one of the printing plates and counterfeited a bunch of them. I think that they must know, there must either be, I don't know, somebody that worked at Star or somebody that, I don't know how they're going to be able to tell the difference, because that's the reason why they stopped, because so many of them were being submitted. So I guess they must have a good source or a good amount of people that can look and tell the difference between the two. It could even be that maybe people were submitting the cards. No, people wouldn't submit them because he can't submit them. I don't know. I don't know why they decided to just make this shift, because I think this also affects that Fleer Jordan market, in my opinion. I think it may not have a huge effect, but it also is going to affect the Star. I think both cards are going to be affected. I think the Star, it's only going to help. It's only going to help because you're going to have more examples being sold. And also it legitimizes that card in general. Like, so if somebody has it graded, like, I don't know, if I'm Rob G, maybe I'm asking and saying, can you look at this and tell me if it's real or not? Like, and then get it regraded if they need to. I don't know if he would actually do that, because like you run the risk that you spent however much he spent on the card and that it's a fake. So I don't know. But like the Fleer market, I still think that's one of the best cards, the Jordan card, in the hobby in general. I think that it was part of this sort of basketball market where, you know, we saw such a huge increase in such a short amount of time that there was, like I said, hindsight's 2020. It was inevitable that we were going to see maybe a little bit of a correction there. But at the same time, the card, the Star card, is going to, I think that one's going to, it's going to positively, the fact that PSA, I don't know if Beckett's going to start doing it, but if, since PSA has, I think it's going to positively affect those cards. It may, in the short term, negatively affect the Fleer Jordan. But like I said, I think long term, the Fleer Jordan is going to be very similar to the 1952 Mantle eventually. Obviously, I think there's 140 PSA 10s, where with the Mantle, there's only three PSA 10s. But still, I think the number, I think at this point, I can't see the total PSA 10s of the Fleer jumping above 150. Like, I can't imagine, or maybe I'll say 160. I can't imagine that there's 20 more PSA 10s available, that 20 more PSA 10s that could be graded over the lifespan of, well, I guess there isn't really a deadline on a lifespan, but of this card. But like, I think, you know, you're every a couple of year, you see more PSA 10s get graded. I also think to sort of similar to the 2019 Prism market, you saw the increase happen and then everybody wanted to sell and then the volume goes up and then the volume affects the price and people probably bought those cards. They're probably okay selling the card for significantly less than what they could get it for. Significantly less than what they could have got it for in the past, because a lot of people probably were buying those PSA 10s at like 20 to 40,000. So like if they're going to sell now, granted, I think the people who are buying at 250 to, you know, 500,000 are, it's definitely going to be a different crowd than the people who were buying at 20,000 to 40,000. So like those people that were buying, the people that are buying at 250 to 500, let's just say, they're probably not going to be as eager to jump in and sell the card at either a loss or even a little bit of a gain, where the people who are buying them at 20 to 40, they're not going to ever, I don't think that card will never get to that point. And this could, you know, if you follow crypto people at all, like this is what crypto people were saying forever, like Bitcoin will never drop below X amount. But I just think that with how many of those cards there are and with the significance of the card, I just can't see the card dropping too significantly down to a point where it's in, where it's at a range that it was pre 2019, 2020, if that makes sense. But I think it's going to just take a lot longer for those cards to increase. I think one of my takes in the past has been that I thought that these cards were going to get to $1 million. I am not 100% sure about that anymore. I think that there's a chance that they could, but I think it's going to take a lot more. It's going to take a lot longer than I was expecting. Like in 2020, when these cards were selling, like I think one of them sold for $720,000, which that also had I think it's called the Validator. I think it was sold by PWCC and had like a PWCCA grade. So it was like the top 10% of the cards were get this grade or whatever. So it was in much better, it was a 10, but it was in a better condition than some of the other 10s. So that's why that card sold for so much. I don't know if that's necessarily even a good comp to use. I think that the people who like cards use that as a comp, and the people who don't like cards also use that as a comp. But there's a middle ground there where it's if someone's saying that it sold for $750,000 or 720 or whatever the total price was, and they don't mention that it was like it had that secondary level of grading, it's a little disingenuous in my opinion, because that second level of grading is what really kind of shot that card up. And if it's hypothetically the best PSA 10 that's been graded, then yeah, maybe it should be in that higher range. I also think that PSA needs to start figuring out how to publicize when a card was graded. So like, I think the first Jordan PSA 10, like whatever the serial number of the first Jordan PSA 10 card is, that's way more valuable than the 120th PSA 10 now is graded. I think that whatever I think it's kind of like serial numbering, like the 23rd PSA 10 probably should be in that same range with the first PSA 10. I've said this a while, and it's kind of something that I think with NFTs in general, like it's one thing that I think sports cards may need to try and implement a little bit more is the authenticating and certification of these cards, but also being able to identify which ones are better than the others, because it's not every PSA card is not every PSA 10 is not created equal. PSA has said that they have like a range of what, you know, the centering. So it's like, I think it's like 60-40 sometimes PSA, because I had two Lucas, but if you go to eBay and you look at any of the PSA 10s that are selling, they're all going to look different. So it's like, if you have the PSA 10 that was this Jordan card that sells for $720,000, but you're not saying that it was because it was graded sort of again almost, then that's a little disingenuous in my opinion. And it's maybe something that for clickbait I've done in the past for sure, but it's like it needs to be part of the story, whether you're you're highlighting in a positive way or if you're highlighting that card in a negative way. So just basically in general, I think that this star card that PSA has now decided that they're going to be grading, it's almost like PSA is shifting the landscape of the market. I don't know. It's an interesting decision. We'll see how it pans out. I don't love it. I guess I understand that there are going to be real and authentic versions of this card that should be able to get graded. And it's not, I guess it's maybe not even PSA's responsibility to solidify or help markets in a way. So like they have to be unbiased in the way that they're grading these cards and how it's going to affect the market. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I wish almost that PSA would come out and also say how many of these cards are being submitted are not authentic as well. I think that would be an interesting statistic. I don't know if they'll ever do that. But that's kind of my thoughts on PSA deciding that grading the star card and how it's sort of going to affect the Jordan Fleer card as well. It was licensed by the NBA. The original team sets are licensed as the official product. I thought that it wasn't, and that's one of the reasons why people liked the. I thought that it wasn't, and that's why people liked the Fleer because it was licensed. I guess maybe I'll have to look into that a little bit more. Because I remember the research that I've done. I thought that it was not a. I thought that it wasn't licensed, and that's why people were upset about it. Yeah, I mean, that's for the most part, that's all I've got for this episode. So Adam, great name, obviously, Adam N and Kamikaze always coming in with questions. That's great. Thank you. Thank you all for joining. That's pretty much all we've got for the live stream today. Live stream yesterday had like some crazy audio issues, which I tried editing the video and it wouldn't let me, but yeah, you know, that's whatever. That's beside the point. So like I said, thank you everybody for joining. Make sure you go to Prize Picks and get that Brady 0.5 over yards. Make sure you use the link that's going to be in the description or in the comments. Thank you all for listening and watching, and I will see you on the next live stream.